Hello, everybody. I just want to share this with you. About up to a month ago, I would get up every morning, have breakfast, read the newspapers, all about the people who died, the tragedies, the murders, the whole lot. And then I heard Noel saying about, instead of reading the news, he reads the good news. So I said I'd try it. So I start reading the good news every morning. I start reading the book of Matthew. And I have to tell you, what an effect it's had on my life in the last month. I'd say on a scale to 1 to 10, my paranoia, stress levels, anxieties, worries, fears are all down to about 2. Way, way down. So try the good news instead of the bad news. You know, thanks, Noel.
Amen. Okay, so I believe that the Lord is out there speaking to us this morning. I'm going to bring my sermon because one of the things we don't do in Liberty, and we do this very intentional, we don't try orchestrate a meeting. We don't try, like, we get everything to match up so that it's a good production. That's not where we're at, okay? And you can't substitute the word of God for manipulation of soulish stuff. So we don't do that, just letting you know where we are. If it looks a bit ad hoc, it probably is. You know why? Because he's an inspirational God. And so I'm just letting you know where we are. If that's what you're looking for, you can find that in other churches. But honestly, we just want to follow Jesus. And where that wind of the Spirit goes, we want to go with him. Because you will hear this over the next while. Humans can't produce the anointing of God, the oil of God. We can't produce it. We try it. All through the Old Testament, the Bible, you see that they try to make God move. We do this, and it'd be a good presentation of God. But you can give a presentation of God without God being present. You could give a presentation of my life, and I don't have to be here. But that's not what we want, is it? We want God to be here. Amen. And he's here. And listen to the thread this morning. He's the God of miracles. He's the one who brings the dead to life. Sharon got up and says, do we know how dead we've been? Because it's only when you realize how dead you are, do you realize how much we need to celebrate how alive we are. And if we forget how dead we were in ourselves and our sin, we won't celebrate. We'll come to church, and you know all you will have is religious gunk. We don't think we don't like to be called religious in the new churches. We don't like, but we can come and we can stand in front of a God who raised the dead, and it's like we're waiting on the bus. I'm like, come on, Noel, get alive. I'm not talking about just you, I'm talking about me. I'm like, get with the program. This is Yahweh we serve. This is who we come to worship. This is not going to see Robbie Williams last night. And I guarantee you that if we were there, someone would be more alive in that stinking park than they would be in church. Robbie! You're the Robbie of miracles. We come to church. What we give him? Our leftovers from Robbie? Come on, guys! Here's my title of my sermon. From the grave to the rave. Do you think we would have sat down and made all this stuff up, wouldn't you? You sing raising people from the dead. Sure, by the way, me and you sat down this morning, didn't we, before we came to church, and we orchestrated what we were going to say. Oh, we rang Jason just in case Jason had something for the keys to unlock the doors. We didn't. We didn't sit in a staff meeting and do it. We didn't have a range 6 weeks ago. On the calendar, this day, we all speak about the same things. We don't work like that here. We want God, the God of the now. The God of the moment. The God of the impossible now. And I'm writing a sermon called From the Grave to the Rave. And they're all singing all this stuff. So I believe God the Father has a present for us. And it's to call us out of the grave. And I don't know why my writing's gone really small on my iPad. But I'm telling you one thing. These old eyes need to come out of the grave this morning. I want to go to the scripture. Oh, the next slide, TJ. Thanks very much for all your work up there, TJ. But listen to this. It's in Ezekiel 37. We speak a lot about Ezekiel 37 from 1 to 11. We all know it's the Valley of Dry Bones. But from 11 to 14, there's another piece of this. This is the grave. Then God said to me, said Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, the people say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and I'm going to bring you up from them and I will bring you back into the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from it. I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have performed what I spoke, declares the Lord. The grave place for these people where they were without life. They were, the Strong Concordance says that they were full of shame. They were confused. They were dried up. They were utterly withering away like a land without water. They said their hope is gone. This is what God was saying, that the people are saying, the bones are saying, our hope is gone. Meaning that they've no expectancy of a breakthrough. We're just our bones just lying there and expecting nothing. I've no expectancy. Then if I come to church with no expectancy, I'm no more than a dry, withered up old bone, according to the scripture. If I come before God with nothing, I'm just going. Well, all you're going to get is that. And he says the people are saying that they were utterly wasting away and there's no hope, no expectancy. We have nothing to hang on to. Listen to what the Greek word means, or the Hebrew word means in Strong's Concordance. It says that we've no reason to live. We've no hope. We've no expectancy that even God is going to get us out of this. But this is what God says. I am going to take you up out of that grave. There's going to be a breaking forth. There's going to be a setting free. There's going to be a loosening. There's going to be a new beginning. God, this is what the Hebrew word means. He's going to plow through that ground. He's going to curve it and open it up. It's going to break forth like the sun breaking forth to break up the day. The grave is an awful place. The grave, if you look at the book of Exodus, and the people of God were in the grave. They were in a place of bondage called Egypt. They're in a place of no breakthrough. They're in a place of they couldn't have an expectancy from God. They were in the ground as a people, beaten down, beaten up. Their graves rattle my graves. When I read it, and the graves that they had of brokenness, the people were so downtrodden that they were full of insecurities. The grave of their own shallow hearts of pain, even a death wish. Have you been there? Are you there? The shallow grave of self. The shallow grave of self-importance. The shallow grave of my addiction or my sin. The shallow grave of having colorless, small dreams. The shallow grave of being voiceless. Do you ever feel insignificant that you're in a shallow grave of what does my life count for? This is the way these people were. The shallow grave of having loads of relationships and yet being empty in your soul. The shallow grave of coming to church every week and yet spiritually dead, withering away. This is the way they were. The shallow grave of confusion, the shallow grave of fear. The shallow grave that keeps us in our past. The shallow grave of guilt and shame. This is the way the people of God were in Egypt. They were beaten down till they felt that we're in a grave. They said to Moses later on, if you remember, why don't you just leave us to die in Egypt? Why don't you just leave us in that grave? But God spoke to Moses, didn't he? And he says to Moses, I want you to go into Egypt and tell my people they're getting out of the grave. You're going in to not ask Pharaoh, can my people go? You're going in to tell him. You're going in to tell him who is the groundskeeper of the grave. My people are getting out of here. And I believe that the Father, amen. I believe that the Father wants to say to us this morning, not asking your gravekeeper of your past, of your sin, or insecurities, or fears. He doesn't want to ask this morning. He wants to speak to that this morning. He says, you're getting out of here. You're not staying here. What's the old Johnny Cash song? Ain't no grave gonna keep me down. Ain't no grave gonna keep me down. That's what he's saying. No grave is gonna keep you down. No grave is gonna keep you down. The grave in Egypt was a place of oppression. Egypt was a place of no future for them. It was a grave of no hope. It was a grave of yous are not worthy to be living. Yous are not even worthy to be people. I told you this before. I got this off Ray Hughes. He says, in Egypt, the grave was so shallow and so oppressive that even when people would talk, in Egypt, they used to have like what we'd call like a tambourine. The tambourine is not a Jewish instrument. It's a Hebrew. It's an Egyptian instrument. And where they got it from, there was like a timbrel, like a piece of wood like this. And going across the expanse there was these wires with little symbols on it that makes up the noise like you would have a tambourine. Right? But the women, I'm telling you, this is a grave that is still trying to keep us down and women down. When the people, phonetics people, people that deal with linguistics and languages and sounds, they found out that the people of God in Egypt, when they were in slavery in Egypt, in that grave, that like they weren't allowed to talk loud. They weren't allowed to go, Anna, come here. Maybe God will help us out of this. They weren't allowed to say anything. As soon as they raised their volume or the decibels to higher than a whisper, if the lady of the house would come with this like tambourine on a stick and you shake her into the face, shh, you shut up. You've nothing to say. You just stay down. And when the people of God, do you remember they were coming out of Egypt? If you read in Exodus, they were coming out, and the people of Egypt, the people that were oppressing them, and God says, let my people go, and he dealt with the tomb keepers, and he dealt with the graveyard diggers, he dealt with the grave diggers, and he says, you're letting them go. And Moses went out with all the people. When they were leaving, they were given by the Egyptians gold, jewelry, rubies, you name it, fine linen, purple clothing. That's what the tabernacle of God was made of in the desert. He loves to take out of Egypt and use it for his glory. And they go out, and you know the story. They're leaving. And they're halfway through, and there's a sea in front of them, and the Egyptians are coming, the grave keepers, the grave diggers are like, get them back into the grave. Get them back. Get them back to their past. Get them back to no hope. Get them back to living low life. Get them back to their addictions. Get them back to their insecurities. Get them back to the nothings. And he sent an army to get them back. And the people were in the middle. There was a sea there. The people and an army, the grave diggers, coming to bring them back to the graveyard. And this is what happens. God speaks to Moses. He says, Moses was crying out to him. He says, don't cry out to me. Start speaking to that sea. And he lifted up the staff, you know the story, and it opened, and they all went over. Do you reckon 1.5 to 2 million crossed that thing? And when all the Egyptians came to get them back, the grave diggers came to get them back to the graveyard, the water came back, and all of them were gone. That's some scene, isn't it? Hollywood has tried to capture that so many times. Listen to what it says in Exodus 15. So this was all after happening. They're on the other side. Miriam, who was Aaron's sister, the high priest's sister, it says this, when Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through on dry land. Then Miriam the prophet, Aaron's sister, took the tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her with their timbrels and started to dance. And Miriam started to sing the song of the Lord. And she said, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver has been hurled into the sea. She gets over the other side. Right, she looks back. She realizes that the death that they were in, they're now out of the grave. And what does she do? She takes the timbrel. She takes the tambourine. Now, here's what you have to ask. Where did she get the tambourine? I thought that was an Egyptian instrument, musical instrument. Can you imagine when they were all going out? And the women were saying, here's gold for you, here's fine linen for you. Don't get your God to do any more plagues. We are in fear of your God. And because God was dealing with the grave digger, you're not holding on to my people anymore. And they were like, here, we'll give you everything on the way out. And you can imagine the women saying, oh yeah, and see on the mantelpiece. See the timbre. See that instrument of the grave. I'll have that as well, love. And they take it. And when they go to and they get on the other side, this is what it says, that Miriam takes the timbre. She takes the tambourine and all the women, all of them take their timbrels. Now let's say 1.5 million people. So let's say at least 500,000 were women. 500,000 women grab their tambourines. It says all the women. And they start singing. All the free ladies, put your hands up, put your hands up. She starts singing and all the women followed. And you can imagine 500,000 women singing. Come on. And shaking that instrument of oppression of the graveyard. And they turned her into an instrument of praise to Yahweh. They went from the grave to the rave. They're like, we're out of there. We're left that place and we're going to sing. Look what God has done. They looked back and you know the grave diggers were no more. The grave diggers were gone. The ones who hold those keys were gone. And here's the crazy thing that I found out in my study. When God says to Ezekiel in that valley, prophesy, tell the people they're coming out of their graves. The word means this. It's a Hebrew word called Naba. And it means to prophesy. It means to, when you get this, it means to sing with song and music in an ecstatic way. Listen to what the word rave means from the English dictionary. It means to talk incoherently as if one is delirious or mad. It means to talk wildly, jabber, ramble, babble. It means to speak or sing about someone with great enthusiasm and admiration. It means to praise enthusiastically, to go into raptures, to wax lyrical, to sing praises, to sing someone's praises to the skies, to enthuse, to gush over, to throw banquet, to bouquet, throw flowers at, to express delights, to exclaim, to exalt, to extol. That's what to rave means. That's what Ezekiel done in the valley. He says the word means not only to prophesy, to speak, it means to sing and to rave. Can you believe that? No, you can't, can you? Well, I was studying the Hebrew and I couldn't believe that that word was in there. He said to Ezekiel, rave over the bones. Speak enthusiastically. You're not just going to get up and wander through life like creaking and crocking. All of you are going to get up and be an army. And I'm going to put my spirit in you. Unbelievable. The 7 Hebrew words for the word praise. One of them is halal, where we get hallelujah. Halal, halal is like praise. Luya, like praise you, Jah. Praise you, Jehovah, God. Praise you, God. That's what hallelujah means. But the halal, there's loads of ways. 7 Hebrew words. Study them. But the hale is one that means to rave clamorously even though you might look foolish. See, we're just so caught up with what Mary or Johnny will think about us. That's what we are. But I'm telling you, when you and I realize the death grave we were in, can you imagine going up the Mount Jerome there in Harold's Cross? You look at the grave. And you say, died in 1916 or something. Johnny, come up. And imagine Johnny gets up. He's fully clothed, fully healthy. Do you think he's going to walk around like, I used to be dead? Do you think that for a minute, Jay? Do you think when my name is mentioned, if I raised him from the dead, he's going to go, oh no. Is he not going to talk about me clamorously, foolishly? Noel Kenny! Do you know I was dead and that turkey came up to the graveyard and took me out of the grave? Don't you say a bad word about him. I want to tell you that no one else had the guts to go up to the grave when I was dead. Do you know rigor mortis is saying? Do you know worms was eating me away? Do you know I was gone? Nothing, nobody, no hope, no future. And he came. Do you think he wouldn't be talking about that? Why not tell you? We were worse than dead physically. You and I were worse than dead physically. The Bible says you were dead in your sin, forever to be separated from God for all eternity. And Jesus came in. And he raised you up from the dead. That's what the Bible says. Those who died with him get raised with him. When David was in the Bible, David knew what it was to be dead. Read his life. When I became a Christian, I loved Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus. But I could so identify with David because he loved Jesus and failed, just like me. It didn't diminish his heart and love for God, but he was a human being. He murdered, got a man murdered because he wanted his woman. Thanks, Anna. I feel like TD Jakes up here. Must have washed my iPad while I'm at it. He was a man that wished he died at times, David. He was a man that lost everything at one stage. He got kicked off the throne by his own son. He was a man that loved God even though he took Bathsheba, even though he took this woman and got his husband killed. When he found out, he goes before God, when he realizes what he'd done, when he came to his senses, when he realized, I'm putting myself in a grave. He goes before God and he writes Psalms 51, if you're reading. He's like, God, I've been in this grave clothes since I was a kid, since I was born. Like, he's like Paul saying in Psalm 51, I want to do what's right, but I seem to always do what's wrong. And he says, he didn't mention the kingdom. He didn't mention all the refinery. He didn't mention the fine clothes or the fine food that he was eating. He didn't mention any of that stuff. He just said this, God, don't take your spirit from me. That's all he was interested in. Because he knew no matter how deep he got in the grave, that the spirit of God would get him out of it. He knew what it was like. And you know the story, he goes after the Ark of the Covenant. Anyone remember that? He brings back the presence of God into Jerusalem. He's walking as a king. He takes off his kingly robes and he puts on an ephod, which was like the priestly clothes. And he's coming back with the priest, with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. If you don't know this stuff, get to know it, guys. This is your life. Don't allow some yahoo like me to tell you what's in the Bible. You should be going, yeah, I know that. I studied that. I know what that was made of. I know the wood it was made of. I'm kidding you not. Let in hunger get into you. The riches of what's in that word, I'm telling you, if we know what's in it, we wouldn't be reading that Nelson. Look at Vincent said it. I don't need to say any more. It's like someone left you, like your rich uncle left you all the money in the world and you never once read the will. How are you going to know what's yours? How are you going to know someone's not ripping you off? How do you know someone else is not taking your inheritance? I tell you what, if you don't want it, I'll have it. I'll take yours and mine. And when we rule for eternity, I'll take what you're supposed to rule and I'll rule it for you. I'll take your crowns that you're supposed to cast at Jesus' feet. I'll have them. I'll throw two crowns down. If you don't want them. David's coming in. He takes off the priestly clothes. So he's now just in his undergarments. And he dances in to the city. Dances in. Because he knew what it was like to be dead. And now the dead one became a dancer. And his wife, Micah, that was Saul's daughter, was up on the balcony and she goes, the state of him. Who does he think he is? He's making a show of us. He's making a show of himself. And he looks up and he goes, honey, if you think this is bad, when you see where else I'm going to get in. Because he knew. He said, if you think this is undignified, when you see how crazy this gets, because I know what it's like to be dead, and now I'm alive. And my prayer is this, that the Lord would show us how dead we were. Because you don't really understand our aliveness till we know how dead we were. Now, God wanted nothing to do with us, I'm sorry. In our sin. The Bible says we were enemies of him. It was sin that put Jesus on the cross. That there was a wall of division between us and God. That he says the wages of sin is death. And that's the only wages we were going to receive. And when we ask, if we don't get it, you ask him. It's not condemnation. It's the most enlivening thing you'll ever realize. I was dead and now I'm alive. I'm as alive and I was as dead as someone in the graveyard. But I'm as alive as Jesus. That's how alive he wants us. And it's ours. And this is what he said in the scripture. He says this. He says, and I put my spirit in them. The Hebrew word is ruach. The ruach hakodesh is the holy wind of God. It's the breath of God. And he says, that's the Hebrew word, the ruach, the breath of God. That's the same breath that came in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit came. It's the same breath that God breathed into Adam. That word that filled, dyslexia word, Y-W-H-W? No, Y-H-W-H. We put an A and an E in there. But that's not what, it was so holy, they didn't want that to be able to pronounce it or anything. But when God bent down to breathe into Adam, it was like himself he put in. Yahawaha. Yahawaha. He breathed his breath into him. And Ezekiel shows us the only way that we can come out of the grave is by his spirit in us. You can kick against that tomb, but you're going nowhere. For his spirit in us gets us out. Can I have the worship team to come back? Do you think God was in this or no? We have some stuff to do after this. It's only 4:15, so we're well on time. Thank the Lord. We have some important announcements to give you, and we have a ministry to tell you about. We have our offering to take. But all that is, it's all down the road. But you're in a grave, and you heard God this morning. Listen to the words of Sharon earlier. She was saying effectively, we were singing like dead bones. Jay said, there's a key that God wants to open up the lock. We sang about the God of miracles, the one who raises the dead from the grave. And my sermon was called From the Grave to the Rave. I don't know how much I got that across, but I cut a load of it out to do what the Lord wants to do. So could we close our eyes? That last slide I had up, actually, TJ. That last slide I done. Bro, keep going. That one. The only way to get from the grave to the rave is through the cross of Jesus. If you haven't asked Jesus, could we just close our eyes for a moment? Why don't I tell you, when you see what heaven's like, man. You think knowing him here on earth is great when you see what heaven's like. But the only way to heaven, from the grave to the rave, to be clamorously not caring what anyone thinks about my worship, when I get to heaven, none of that is existent. That'll be the great hallelujahs, the greatest rave. If you don't know him or never asked him to be your Savior, could I just give you this opportunity? And listen, it's simple. He's made it so simple. He's already took your sins. He's already paid the price. He's already paid the bill. He already took your punishment. You just have to exchange that. Jesus, I believe you took my punishment. I believe you paid my price. I give my life to you. And I receive your life. If that's you, would you just ask him right now? We don't have to do this. You can do this before God. Jesus, I believe you paid the price for me. I accept that price. Will you come into my life? I give you my life in exchange that you give me your life. So receive, if you've just done that, receive his life right now. Receive the exchange from that grave out of there. Out of darkness, out of gloom and doom, into light, into love, into acceptance, into peace. In Jesus' great name. For the rest of us that know Jesus, listen, Jesus, Ezekiel wasn't prophesying in song over people that didn't know God. He was speaking to the people of God here. He was speaking to the people of God that was in the graves. They were buried, they were doomed, they gave up hope. They said, there's no future for us, there's no way out of this. So that means, if we're speaking to there, it applies to us here. I know my life, so. If you need to come up out of a grave today, why don't you just quickly stand? I don't know what's all on that tombstone, I don't know what's written on it, but it's the grave of insecurity, the grave of sin, or the grave of or whatever it may be. I don't even want to put names on it. You just go, I'm coming out of that. I'm standing up. Come on, get up, man. Get up, man. Get up, woman. God wants to put the tambourine in your hand. He wants to take that thing that the enemy's oppressed you with and turn it into a testimony of what God took you out of. He keeps reminding us of that stupid, oppressive thing. Remember you did this. Remember you didn't live up to that. And God wants us to take that out of his hands and say, yes, I was once blind, but now I can see. I was once broken, but he's made me whole. I was once confused, but he's given me clarity. Whatever it was. Whatever it is. Come on, stand up. No more. He said to Moses, go in and tell that Pharaoh to let my people go. And I speak over your life. Out of there. God spoke to me 12 weeks ago probably. I keep getting the weeks mixed up. One Saturday morning, he said, 2 years in darkness I was. 2 years of trying to find God's heart for my future. And God said to me one morning, I was lying in bed one Saturday morning. He says, get up, man. He usually calls me son. He usually calls me Noah. He says, get up, man. And I got up out of bed, and I'm telling you, I've not been the same. I've had the same opposition, but I've not been the same. I've had the same temptations, but I've not been the same. I've had the same insecurities knocking on my door, but I've not been the same. They've been the same, but I've not been the same. And what you've given to me, Lord, I give to my fellow brothers and sisters. Well, you told me to get up, man. And I say, get up, man. And I say, get up, woman. In the name of Jesus, be loosed. Be free to clamorously sing about him. Celebrate him. Take your tambourine out and sing of your freedom that the chariot and the rider is no more. They're gone. They're gone. I should describe my last 2 years of being in a forest. That's the way I've described it. People say to me, where are you at now? I'm like, I feel like I'm in a forest. And it was dark and I'd see the edge of the light on the edge of the forest. I'd see the light and I'd go, I think I'm nearly out, and I'd run to get out. And then something would have me, another knockback. It's like I ran into a tree and I'm knocked back into the middle of the forest. And that morning when he says, get up, man. I think he said in a Welsh accent. There was an emphasis on man. Newcastle. Get up, man. And I get up, man. And when the knock came, I looked behind me, man. For the furnace, man. But the furnace wasn't there, man. Because he took the furnace away, man. And that's what he done with the Israelites. When they looked to see the chariots and the riders and the grave diggers, they were no more, man. And I'm saying to you this morning that the Father wants to give you a gift, man. And a gift, woman. That whatever was keeping you down is no more. In the name of Jesus. That when you look behind for it, it ain't there, man. So we celebrate man. We celebrate woman. Let's sing, will we? Listen, you're not dead anymore. So don't you dare dance or talk or walk like a dead man. Don't you dare sing his praises like a dead man. Ain't no grave gonna keep you down. Ain't no grave gonna keep you from the rave. Amen? Amen, amen. I'm rewriting that song. Ain't no grave keeping me from the rave. Ain't no grave keeping me from the rave. Use that mad. Let's sing. Let's sing Spirit Breakout, can we? I know we've had two new songs and they were brilliant, guys. But can we do where, I want to lead you. Guys, you can get ready to take out your offering during this moment of worship and all, and the boys got ready to receive it. We've 10 minutes left, but we want to do this. Do you remember we've done the Hagion? Do you know what that is? It's the O of God. When David wrote scriptures and he wrote, "O Lord, my God," that word O is it's called when God said, "Let there be light." When just give people a chance to get it out. When God said, "Let there be light," he said this. The word is used, the word is a Hebrew word called or, O-R-E. It's spelled O, it's pronounced O. He said, "Let there be O, let there be light." And when David was writing scriptures and he put O in, he'd say to God, you know, "O Lord my God," he was inviting the light of God. Inviting the light of God into a situation, into a circumstance. If he was on the mountaintop and he went, "O Lord my God, how majestic is your name," he was saying, "Lord, will you give me more revelation?" So we'll do a few O-O's and you'll get it quickly. Remember it? And then we just... You're out of there, guys. You're out of there. You're out of there. We're not waiting for it to happen. You're out of there. We're not going to have a big altar call. You're out of there. You're out of there. You've just get out. You've just... Come on. You have to just... When you look at, just look back after. Look back when it comes. Look back when the rider is trying to come at you. Look at when the warrior is trying to come at you from your path. Look at... See, will the grave digger be there? Look at him. Look around. He ain't there. He ain't there. Goliath was never going to be there again for David because David took the head off. Now Goliath's creeping up on him. Just go into Spirit Breakout and we'll just do that over a few times, yeah? And you don't have to do the whole song. Yes, Lord. You can let the baskets go if you want. Oh. Loosen up a bit. Spirit break out. Whoa. Come on. Come on, sing like you're alive. Come on. No grave's going to shut you up. Come on. You have the tambourine now. You have it. Sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Come on. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touch.
Go back into that.
Okay. Let's go back into that one, right? Do you ever think it's weird when you read songs like, let this place erupt with praise and nothing happens? Do you ever find that weird? Oh, we're dancing in the streets now and we're all standing there like plebs. I'm like, just remove those lines from the songs or let's do it, one or the other. Yeah? So, when it says, let this place erupt with praise, that's airline. We're part of the worship team here. So we can go let them sing, let them play. Or we can act like a dead person and go, okay, he's alive. Just tip someone on the shoulder very quickly. Go, do you know you're alive? Come on, tell them. That's your brother. Do you know that you were dead but now you're alive? Yeah, come on, tell them. You're not telling them. You're getting all shy. It's like you're dead again. Amen. Well, tell them to sing like it. Come on. Tell them to let this place erupt with praise like it. I'm not giving out. I'm trying to free us up. I'm trying to get us to act like we're alive. Our Father. Get ready to erupt. Yes, Lord. The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound. All your name, Lord, your name. Sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear? Amen. Sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit break out. Whoa. Whoa, Spirit break out. Whoa.
Amen. Jesus.
King Jesus. Want to see your kingdom here. We want
to see your kingdom here. King Jesus, your name
we're lifting high, your glory shaking up the earth and sky. Revival. Amen. Amen. We love you, Jesus. We bless your great name, Lord. We just thank you. Can you sit down for a moment? I want to honor just some announcements and all of you. It'd be only next 5-7 minutes. Amen. Amen. It's good to be alive. Amen. It's good to be alive. I'm going to ask Amanda to come. This is Amanda. I don't know your surname. Oh, Shay, that's right. I used to play football with a husband and his... Anyone remember Haji, the Romanian footballer? That's not a husband. That's what we call his nickname. Haji O'Shea. So I have Amanda in my phone as Amanda Hadji. But there's been a ministry that we were involved in many years ago, and I think this is Amanda. Let's say hello. And it's called Urban Soul. And Amanda rang me to see, do we want to get involved? Again, is probably the right word. And so what we're going to be doing is going up to Dolphins Barn. Amanda will tell you what it is. We're going to have a team over. We're going up to work with the old folks in their gardens. They need some of their gardens doing. And Amanda is making young people available to us. And also she's here to invite some of us to be involved. So Amanda will let us know more.
Thank you for having me here. I'm just so blessed just worshiping with you today. Really encouraged. I feel like I'm just going to walk out of here on a cloud today. So thank you for letting me worship with you. Your hearts are precious. I feel honored and privileged to be invited to be able to talk to you about Urban Soul. I have some flyers, so be sure to pick one up from me today before you go. There's just a bit of information there. So Urban Soul started back in 2008. You can probably hear my American accent. I moved here in 2007 from America. I was hired as a youth minister for a church that I worked at just down the road, Trinity Church. For 8 years I worked there. And the very first week I was in the country, they put me on a committee for this thing called Urban Soul. So I've been on the ground floor with it since its very beginning. And what it desires to do is indiscriminate acts of kindness all throughout the city. But it's to inspire us to think about how we can love our community, all right? And it's modeled after Jesus. I'm inviting you to be a part of where Jesus is at work in the city. He's already working in the city. He's at work in people's hearts. We just have to be able to see with spiritual eyes where he's at work and what he's doing. And so that we can partner with that and find out, what can I do to partner with where God is working in people's hearts? So that's what Urban Soul endeavors to do, is to partner with the work of God in the city. So just to give you an example, we used to just do a summer project for about 3 to 4 days out of the summer. It used to just be young people and young adults. So what has evolved out of that is conversations. I started getting in conversations with these communities, and I said, what could we do on an ongoing basis that might bring long-term change? And just in Dublin One, for instance, we run a breakfast club there for some kids at risk. Families in that school might be homeless. They might be, on direct provision. And we run a breakfast club every morning. Out of running that breakfast club, I've earned the trust of the local school officials to be able to take about 30 to 40 of those kids the last 2 years on an adventure club camp to Scripture Union in Avoca Manor. And then out of that, we've had just this past camp, we had 12 kids ask for Bibles and 8 kids come to faith for the very first person in their family to come to faith. These children, a lot of them immigrants, will have a mixture of Dublin City kids, mixture with kids from Chinese, atheists. Honestly, I had about 20 kids who just moved here from China. They would literally be the first person in their family to hear about Jesus Christ and going on these camps. So it's amazing the work of God that you don't get to see. So that's why I like to proclaim it and testify what God is doing in the city. He is at work in the city. And so I'm asking you if you would be in partnership with what we're trying to do with the summer project. So we have 3 days that we're going to be at work, and one of those days is strategically placed here. We've been here in the past, and we wanted to branch back out and be out in this place again. Noel has set up a project for us. We also have projects. So we're going to all meet up at the St. Catherine's Church and gather on the 27th of June, so not this Tuesday, but the following Tuesday. All ages are invited. If you bring anyone under the age of 14, though, they need to have a parent with them. They need to have supervision. So you can come over the age of 14 and older. We ask for a tenner a day, and that tenner literally goes to help me pay for the projects, the stuff that we do, whether it's gardening supplies. We're going to run a miracle cafe. We're going to do this project in the Dolphins Barn. We're going to put together homeless packs for the Brew Hostel. And we're going to just love this community. That's on day one. On day two, we're going to gather at Dublin Central Mission on Abbey Street. And we're going to worship and gather together and pray for the city. And then we're going to run a sports day for that school I was mentioning. And we're going to run it for them. I run it completely free for them. They don't pay for anything. We go in and I hire the inflatables and the face painting and we run games for those kids. And then we also clean up the garden at Our Lady of Lourdes just right next to it. And then on day 3, we'll gather again at the Dublin Central Mission, but we're heading to East Wall. And we're going to run a sports day again and do a cleanup over in East Wall. So the same thing over that way. So 3 days of indiscriminate acts of kindness, 3 different parts of the city, Liberties, Dublin 1, East Wall. Really would love for you to be a part of it. If you have any questions at all, we all get to wear these fancy, aren't they fancy vests? We all get to wear one of these for everybody. And you can get in touch with me. One of the things that's on there, act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. That's been where out of Micah that we feel God has called us to be in this city. Please register if you want to get involved. That email right there, urbansoul58@gmail.com. Register at that email and you'll get it. Thank you so much.
Wow. You're good at this. You're good at delivering this stuff. So guys, get involved. Look, there's an opportunity in our own community, but also in the city. This is how you help reach a city. Thank you, Amanda. And Anna has a few announcements, and then I'll pray over us before we go. Do you want me to do it? I'll do them if you want. I want it.
Okay, just for our youth that are going on Pulse, today is the last day to contact Caroline to book in. You can book online. But if you wanted Caroline to do, today is the last day, so get on board there, teenagers. Tuesday morning, ladies, is 11 o'clock. Wow. Last Tuesday was amazing. We had 2 of the American teams just share their heart with us, and it was just absolutely amazing. This week we have someone in store for you again, so come, be blessed. Stronger, Wednesday nights, 7 o'clock in the building. And Friday, the 7th of July. So Brian Gray is looking for names. So the 7th of July is Brave, but Brave are inviting WOW for a night out. So the men are going to look after the women for that night. So Brian needs numbers of how many women are going to turn up because there will be food involved, so he needs to know how many to cater for. Okay.
Yeah. Just saying about the WOW or the Brave. Our men's meeting's called Brave, and Brave invites the WOW women to a meal. We want to treat you to a great night, and so please sign up so that we know what to cater for. This is our gift to you ladies, and we believe it's from the heart of the Lord. So it's going to be a great night on the 7th. We're going to have some fun and food and some surprises as well. You've never seen Ken Kerrigan doing river dance, have you? I'm only messing. We're going to have the best of crack. We need all the ladies to sign up, and all the men. Yeah, sorry. Sign up to be involved, right, guys? We're gonna wear white shorts and dicky bows, and but also, even if you're not gonna be here, can I ask every one of us to give Brian a few bob? Because this is not coming from the church. This is coming from the men. So will you? And we really feel we want to say that to you, ladies. This is we want to finance you. We want to serve. We want to give back onto the ladies of our church. And if you want to invite a friend, invite them. We don't mind. And but just let us know. And but I'm saying, guys, even if you're not going to be there, this is an opportunity to give into something, because who hasn't been blessed by the women of our church? Who hasn't? When none of us were around to pray, they were praying. When none of us were around to give, they were giving. Honestly, that's we just want to give back, don't we? And that's what we're doing. And above all else, because you're beautiful. That's it. So Anna's going to, let me pray, and then Anna, can you ever shut up, Anna? Father, we love you. And we just know I heard from you today, Lord. And I believe we've heard from you today. May it continue into Clondalkin tonight, Lord. Father God, but we just say in the name of Jesus that I am alive. I once was dead, but I'm alive. And that thing that was trying to keep me down is gone. And I'm going to walk in that today in Jesus' name. So he sent us out as live men and women. It says when Jesus rose from the dead, there was something like, what was it, hundreds of men. They seen hundreds of men that was raised with him, walking around the city. And I send you out in that manner, men and women of God, alive, free, whole, alive, laughter, fun. Send you home to your wife, send you home to your family, go home, be alive in Jesus' name. Amen. And as a gift for us, I think.
Amen. Okay, just the last thing. If all the men could please stand. Every man in the house, please stand. We just wanted to say Happy Father's Day to those of you that are fathers, grandfathers, fathers-to-be, and potential fathers, and also spiritual fathers. You know, Father's Day can be a tough time for people. Maybe they've lost a father. Maybe they didn't know who their father was. You know, I read this morning, Tupac, the rapper, said that he never knew his real father. And he said, if I had known my real father, I guarantee that I would have more discipline in my life and I would have been more confident. And, you know, we know who our father is. So just during the worship, Phil Swan, I was just thinking about the fathers and I was just looking at you stand up there with the S on you. And I just really felt the Lord say that you're Superman. That in the spiritual realm, Phil, that you are a Superman. And that you are a super dad, a spiritual super dad. And you know, the Lord's going to give you the desires of your heart. He knows what you long for, and he is going to give them to you. So, men, be blessed. Have a great day.